Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Young F.A. Holmes. These niggas so scary, won't let them bury me. That's why I keep my 30, I shoot like Curry. And boy, I'm getting money, I'm getting money. These niggas hilarious. I think they... Welcome back to Don V Fridays. Back in the building, man. Drift coming in from Miami, man. You come back with that shit. You got COVID. How you feel?
I survived. I'm alive. It's fucking crazy. It was nuts down there. Absolute a disaster. We originally stayed in South Beach, and then when they imposed a curfew on like Saturday night, and it went to shit real fast. They were blocking off whole fucking bridges and shit. So we left and went to Brickell, which is downtown Miami. And that was way better. And then, so we just got back on Tuesday. But my cousin's husband is a police officer from Miami-Dade County. And he called me and he was like, bro, honestly, I would get the fuck out of there if I were you. He was like, this is the worst weekend I've ever seen Miami, South Beach. And you just need to leave. So I told my friends, I was like, we need to get the fuck out of here. I don't care about how much we pay for a hotel. It's probably not good to be here. But I'm excited to be back. We took a break from the podcast last week. I was real busy, but we got a full VT episode coming up, so that'll be good.
Full VT episode. You came back. You don't got COVID. You don't got HIV. Yeah.
I tested, so I'm about to get my test real bad.
You ain't put your tongue in the wrong cookie jar?
No, I'm good. Down there? I'm good. We're good. I didn't really go to that many clubs, honestly. We were more doing stuff during the day. Clubs were so expensive down there. It's fucking ridiculous. I don't have that type of money either.
I never been to the state of Florida. The furthest south I've ever been is Georgia. So,
well, if you ever go down
Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'm gonna act a plum. Best believe we're gonna be back to normal when I go to Miami, because I'm gonna be acting a plum fool down here. But let's get this show started. eBay sneakers. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. And with eBay's authenticity guarantee, a team of independent professional authenticators, words fucks me up every week, bro. It would be beating my ass every week, and I know it's coming. Independent authenticators perform a
delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Rigorous inspection of the sneakers you purchase before they're sent to you, so you can shop confidently knowing your pair is the real deal. And for the sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on all sneakers $100 and up, making it free to sell or flip your collection, with other sites taking in as much as 25%, you're going to have a lot of extra money left for more sneakers. Check out ebay.com/sneakers today. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you into a drawing for a pair of one-of-one Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @armchairmedia on Twitter or Instagram. Once again, ebay.com/sneakers and bet online for all my March Madness folks out here, all my Oral Roberts supporters. They Oral Roberts. I don't know the name of that school.
Yeah, blowjobs.
Oral Roberts fans, Loyola Marymount fans, Sister Jean, you motherfuckers out here gambling on March Madness. College basketball, NBA. Shout out, peace to LeBron James, high ankle sprain. We praying for you, bro. But Bet Online is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code is armchair. Once again, the promo code is armchair at checkout. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Now, this happened Friday. Speaking of March Madness and the NCAA men's basketball tournament, our beloved Virginia Tech Hokies lost in overtime to Florida. I didn't see the game. I was working. Drift didn't see the game. He was traveling and things. Right. We didn't see the game. And it would not be fair of any of us to critique a game that we didn't watch. So I just want to say personally, shout out to the VT men's basketball team. They weren't expected to make the tournament. I think they was expected to be like 11th in the ACC. I just want to take this time to tip my cap to Mike Young. You want to add any comments?
Yeah, I think he did a great job this season, and they're setting a foundation. This wasn't supposed to be the year, anyways, that they were gonna really go anywhere far. So give them a couple years, and you know, next year I'm sure they'll be back in the tournament, and the program's heading in the right direction. So I think even though it's frustrating, it's good where we're at, and I think we have a lot to look forward to.
Got a lot to look forward to. Even with Joe B transferring, I think he wanted a bigger role. I think that news came down what Saturday or Sunday. I think he wanted a bigger role. I think Joe would have been a boy. Maybe he saw the writing on the wall with the what's the kid coming in from Wofford, the shooter.
I'm not sure.
We got a kid coming in from Wofford. He was a white boy. He was dancing. He was dancing at Thanksgiving and shit. It don't matter. We got a kid coming in from Wofford. Maybe Joe seen much more of the same, not an increased role. So he transferred out. And
it might be Storm Murphy.
Storm Murphy. That's the kid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Storm Murphy coming in, maybe Joe looked at the situation like, I don't feel like.
Yeah,
going through the bullshit. The kid knows, Storm Murphy knows Mike Young already played for him at Wofford. He's like, man, let me just go ahead and get the fuck on. So, shout out to Joe. Wish it would have worked out here. I mean, he was a top, 75 recruit when we got him.
Yeah.
So, it's dope to, even if they don't, you know, change life for you, it's good to land kids of that caliber just to let people know that we're in the building.
Right, I think Mike Young and his staff will do a good job moving forward of getting their guys that they want in the system. But maybe Joe just didn't realize how much of the offense was a system and wanted more of like a
a primary role. So good for him. I hope he goes out and does well and has a good career.
Right, right. And hopefully going forward, Mike Young realizes that you can get through conference play without a center, but once you get into the tournament, you got to have two big men, sometimes three. You right. got to have you a true center. Like, I think that was Buzz's downfall as well, not having a true center on the team. Like,
yeah, it definitely hurt. And you could really see it when they played North Carolina in the ACC tournament. That was very apparent. I mean, I don't really know how much of it was that against Florida, but I did watch the North Carolina game, and they were beating us up on the boards and just way bigger. So hopefully moving forward, they can get some bigger guys, because I think that's been a problem for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, even before Mike Young, we seem to always have a small team playing small lineups. But shout-outs to the VT men's basketball. Y'all overachieved this season. I'm not going to give y'all no shit for losing in round one of the tourney. I ain't going to give y'all no shit for that. It happens. Even Buzz, I think the first year Buzz made the tournament, we lost like Alabama in the first round. Mm-hmm. With what's young in that play for Cleveland? Colin Sexton and them. We right. lost to Colin Sexton and them in a game that we should have won, honestly. But
yeah, we came into this tournament off of like that COVID break too, and that definitely didn't help the team's like chemistry. So it was tough for them. But moving forward, we should be right. good.
Yeah, moving forward, I think we'll be fine. Now, where we're not fine, Virginia Tech spring game has been officially canceled. And the reasoning behind the cancellation is something about COVID guidelines and fans. And if we can't have fans, then there's no reason to have a game, pretty much. But maybe an hour after that announcement, State of Virginia basically said that Virginia COVID restrictions were going to be more relaxed. I think they would have allowed 19,000 fans into the spring game had we had a spring game. I think we as fans all know the real reason why we're not having a spring game, and that's because head coach Justin Fuente is a very secretive coach. He doesn't like access. He doesn't like the idea of our practice. He doesn't like media attention. And I mean, I don't think he's ever came out and said this, but a lot of football coaches don't like giving their opponents any kind of tape, any kind of advantage, any kind of scouting. He wants to keep all that under wraps until the regular season. That's the true reason why we're not having a spring game. I just think the COVID excuse is weak as fuck. I just think if they wanted to not have a spring game, then they should have just said that, because they just played a full season. Virginia Tech Hokies played a full season with, I think, 1,000 fans in the stands and just a camera setup. And they just streamed all the games. We all watched the games from TV. We have a partnership with the ACC Network. The ACC Network wants content. That's what they're paying for. That's why you sign a TV contract. So the ACC Network is saying, look, we don't give a fuck if you put zero fans in the stands. We just need something to show. And right, Virginia Tech said, no. Yeah, because we would have watched. Virginia Tech fans would have tuned in. That's easy access. But how you feel about the whole situation? Or am I tripping? Maybe COVID is the truth.
I don't think COVID is the truth at all, because even if you look at the way that the team is portrayed on our own social media, I feel like the fans are very distant from the team. I mean, we don't get a lot of we don't get the type of access to the team on social media that other teams' social medias give. And I think it's the same thing where Fuente, he doesn't want any media attention. If there's a way that he cannot have a spring game, he's going to not have a spring game. So I think it's just the perfect excuse for him to be like, oh, okay, yeah, no. You know, unfortunately from COVID, we can't do that. But they're still holding practice. So there's no fucking difference. It's not like, okay, then hold the practice in the stadium and just record it. Why can't you do that? Or maybe run some drills. Give us something. You know what I mean? But they don't want to give us fucking anything. It's frustrating, as from a fan's perspective, because I want to see these new guys play. I want to see them on the fucking field.
Right, and
especially the younger
and
dudes.
Game scenarios.
Exactly.
Running real plays, not even. And I seen that suggested. Some people were saying, well, because we're adding a 15th practice. Instead of having a spring game, we're going to have a 15th practice. And people was like, just televise that. I don't even want to see that. Because if it's one-on-ones or whatever, no, I want to see 11-on-11, and I want to see one camera angle, not these goofy camera angles and all. We can't see who threw the ball,
right,
or we can't see what DB was that. No, we want a fixed camera angle, and I want game time reps. I want to see a two-minute drill. I want to see if Burmeister can run a two-minute drill. I want to see. I mean, he would have been in a non-contact jersey, but I want to see if he was, you know, how his ball handling in the option game. And
right.
I want to see if Blackshear got better. Like, that's what
right.
we want to see.
Exactly. And
it's,
so
it's a fan's job. It's a fan's job to want to hope and anticipate that the team got better. And I just think we got robbed again of that opportunity.
Right, it's got to be frustrating for the players too, you know, because that's got to be fun to play in a spring game against your fucking teammates and shit, and go out there and dress up, act like it's a game in the middle of a spring, and they don't get to do that either. So I feel like that as a player, I don't think they're gonna respect the coaching staff any more for their decision. If anything, it's gonna make them lose respect and for canceling it. So I think it hurts the team dynamic too, which is even more of a problem. So I don't know. I think it's such a cop out that they went with this option.
And it hurts. It doesn't hurt Trey Turner. It doesn't hurt, you know, like the seniors. It don't hurt
right.
the upperclassmen. We know who they are. It hurts the incoming freshmen, you know, like a like Stroman or somebody who. You put
yeah.
them on that platform, and all they got to make is one play
maybe
on a
like
spring
a
game platform.
Yeah, a Tyree Saunders, and, maybe.
Yes, and then the fans, they get, you know, let me follow this kid. Let me Tyree Saunders. Okay, that is the perfect platform to help build the next stars at Virginia Tech, and it's something fun for the team because I remember, and we haven't seen the spring game since Frank Beamer days, where I think the winning team got like steak and the other team had pork and beans, shit like that.
Yeah.
Just you know, make it fun. Like,
yeah. These kids want to have fun. They're fucking kids. They want to go out
kids,
and have
man.
Fun. They want to play football. Let
you,
them play football.
You already asking all these kids for going on another season to. And we know they still doing their thing, but don't do your thing. Don't be out here in these streets. Stay in your rooms, you know. Just be about football 110%, but you don't ever want to throw them a bone. And it's like, this is exactly why people want to transfer out. This is exactly why, like, they didn't want to play a bowl game because you don't do shit for them.
Right. So, they always, like...
They never
meet the players halfway, you know what I mean? They go like they make the players have to come all the way to the coaching staff. The coaching staff, I feel like from what we've seen, they don't go the extra mile to be like, okay, you know what? Let's have a spring game for these kids. Let's do at least something for them.
Even if it ain't for them, do it for us. Because we're
yeah.
the ones that's keeping the fucking lights on in that motherfucker.
Right.
They need to stop playing with us, man. Meet us halfway too. Whit Babcock say shit like, man, they always talking about money, money, money. But the vibes I get from Whit Babcock and Fuente, it's like, give us money and get the fuck out the way. Shut up. Don't say nothing. Don't comment on nothing. Don't want to have a spring game. Don't show up to a spring game. Just donate. Give us money. Go buy tickets when you can. Buy shirts when you can. And shut the fuck up.
Oh.
And that is not how things work.
Yeah, and they want money. So why don't we have a spring game so you can generate revenue? I mean,
right. The ACC network would have. I don't know if the ACC network is going to give them money regardless for not having a spring game.
Well, now
if
apparently
that's
we
the
could
case,
have 19,000 fans. So fuck it, run it at the stadium, have people there, and make money off of them. I mean,
make money, sell turkey legs, have a fish fry. Fuck, make money.
Set the
They
cap
say
at how
they
many
want to
people
have
you
the
want to
money, but they
make.
don't want the fan engagement.
They don't even want to work for the fucking money either, it seems. They just want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They just want the money. Like I said on Twitter, this shit is like being friends with a stripper. Have you ever been friends with a stripper?
Hell no.
Like friends. Like, okay, I have been. Like actual friends with strippers and shit. And this is how that goes. You hit up your stripper friend as your friend, right? Like, yeah, let me see what she's doing. And she'll say, "Oh, come see me at the club." Why?
Give me money.
Give her exactly. They want the money. They want the support. Mind you, if you go to the club, they're not gonna treat you like they know you. They're
Right. They're gonna treat you
gonna
like
treat you
you
like
gotta give them
everybody
money.
else. All
Exactly.
right. So that's what being a Virginia Tech fan is like. It's like being friends with a stripper or friends with a girl that work at Hooters. If that's more relatable for some that don't go to strip clubs. It's like being friends with a Hooters girl. Oh, come to the restaurant. Come up to Hooters. For
Yeah,
what? I'm not hungry. Just come up. That's being the Hokie fan. And let me say something to Justin Fuente. Let me tell you something, bro. Everybody in conference is having a spring game, but us and Louisville. Every one of our opponents that had a spring game, you gotta fuck them up because you got an advantage over them. They don't got no tape on you. You gonna have tape on them. So as of right now, we have an advantage on our opponents, correct?
apparent, I guess so.
Okay, then.
I don't really buy
We gotta
that
beat
though.
them opponents. I don't bat a shit either, but I'm just mad at Fuente because he
Yeah.
always on some ho shit. For every opponent that we played that had a spring game, we officially have an advantage over them.
According to him, yes,
So,
sir, we better have an advantage.
and they don't got scouting on us. And I think another reason why they don't want to have a spring game, why they definitely didn't want to have a spring game, I think they wanted to hide Braxton Burmeister from the fans, not the opponents. I think if they can just give us nuggets, little quotes, Braxton's getting better. Oh man, the kid's got
Right.
way better. If we would have seen him play game reps, spring game reps, albeit with a non-contact jersey, and he was throwing passes to the sideline, and he was throwing passes out the stadium, and he was fucking up reads and shit,
Yeah.
we would have been on Twitter like, you let Hendon Hooker and Quincy Patterson go for this, and people, it would have been a Twitter mutiny. I think, and this is my conspiracy hat. This ain't what I know. We're fans here. I don't got no sources, but I think they wanted to have Burmeister from us, the quote mob. What's
Right.
your thoughts on that?
I think they probably would as well. I mean, Burmeister didn't exactly play like he was better than Hooker. You know what I mean? And so if he comes out in the spring game after Hooker transfers and he's still obviously not better than Hooker, I feel like the fans are going to backlash and they don't want any part of that. So
Right.
it makes sense for the, I mean, it makes sense to me of why they would do that. I think it's stupid. I think it's, but I understand why they're doing
I
it.
think they hit him. And then you got Knox, Kadem, and I think they were just like, yo, let's hide the quarterbacks. Let's
Yeah.
let's hide, because
The
they're not
quarterback.
at this point, we're not hiding the offense.
Or the defense. I mean, also, what other quarterback, Taj Bullock? What if they all look like shit? You know how bad the team's gonna look on fucking TV?
Right. So
It
I
might be like
think
a
they
fucking
said
0 to
bite the
0 at
bullet.
the end of the game. Nobody scores. And then fans go nuts on Twitter.
Yeah, I it's just a theory of mine. So I'm, you know, like I'm a fan. So that's just my theory. I think they wanted to protect Braxton Burmeister from motherfuckers like us on Twitter, like quoting all like quote tweeting and shit, like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We let QP go for this. And let's say Tennessee has their spring game. I don't know if Tennessee's having one or not. And Hendon Hooker looks starter capable. He might not light the world on fire, but let's say he looks like a capable starter. Now you got
Right.
that going again. I think they say, you know what? Let's not put Burmeister out there until we absolutely have to.
I agree. And the other thing too is like if Burmeister gets hurt, we don't really have much options either.
Don't think they would have put the non-contact jersey. It's Bur they're not hitting. They
Well, I
wouldn't
know, but I'm
hit
saying like a non-contact injury of some sorts. But I mean, not
right.
that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean in the I mean next season as well. Like if he gets hurt
Right.
during the season
Oh,
next year,
yeah.
it's not like they have somebody that can back him up easily, as opposed to him this past year with Hooker. They were both older quarterbacks.
Yeah,
So.
Hooker and Patterson. Now it's like, you gotta stay healthy, bro.
Yeah, because it's
You
what
better stay healthy.
Knox
It's Knox.
Chatham is,
Yeah.
yeah, or
Fort Knox.
and we saw him a little bit last year in that one game at the end.
Yeah, what was that, Clemson?
I think
Was that
so. It might have been
Clemson or
Clemson.
UVA? It might have been Clemson
I
and
think it was.
UVA.
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was Clemson. A little bit of UVA, but he's definitely not what we want to roll out for a fucking starting lineup.
No, not yet. Not yet, at least.
Yeah,
And the
not yet
kid,
at
oh
least.
yeah, and the kid from Texas A&M, Blumrick. I forgot about him. Yeah.
I forgot about him too.
Yeah, Blumrick.
Is he older?
I think this is, I think he got 1 year eligibility.
Yeah, let me check this up real quick. He is a he's a junior right now. 6'5" junior.
Oh, so he got 2 seasons left.
Yeah.
Big mobile kid too.
Yeah, he's 6'5". That's pretty big. 215.
I wouldn't be surprised if they brought him in to do the QP stuff. Okay, you're gonna be the QP power,
Yeah.
the QB power guy. You're gonna be the interior QB runner while Burmeister, because Burmeister's fast. Burmeister is a legit athlete, but he's not big like Patterson. He's not even big like Hooker is. So they
Right.
probably figure to run Burmeister outside zone, shit like that. Bring in the Blumrick kid as like a belldozer type package. That's on.
Yeah.
That's what I foresee. Because
That makes sense.
Knox ain't hitting on shit yet.
Right. So
Any other
maybe.
spring news and notes that we need to be aware of?
Headed I was reading an Athletic article the other day. Let me pull it up real quick. I have a little quote from Trey Turner talking about last season. And the wide receiver room last year was weak, and most of that was because it was just Trey Turner and Tavion Robinson were the only two that were really doing anything. Because I think the other person, let me just find this real quick, but the only
Was
other
Caleb Smith.
person that yeah, it was Caleb Smith, and he only accounted for I think under 200 yards of total offense. So it was just Turner, and but Turner did say in the article that he is putting on weight, and he expects a bigger role, and he's embracing being a leader. He says that he is working up to get to 195 this spring. He says, quote, eating 4 to 5 meals a day. If I miss any meals, I'm cheating myself, honestly, he said. So it would be really nice to see him at 195 this next year.
If Trey Turner is at 195, because I think he's what, like 180 or some shit, 180. I think he plays at like 180 or 185.
Right.
He gets
So it says
he hasn't
187
suffered
there.
any 187. He hasn't suffered any major injuries, but he gets banged up a lot. Nick and neck
Right.
injuries, where I think maybe with some more weight, he'll be a little more durable game in and game out.
Yeah. And the other thing too is he runs a lot with the ball, and so being a little bit bigger could help him a lot as well. But going back to what I said about him and Tavion accounting for they accounted for 72 catches, 1,121 yards and 6 touchdowns last season. But for the rest of the offense, it was 13 catches for 131 yards and 1 touchdown from the receivers. And that was
So that's Caleb
that
Smith.
Caleb Smith and whoever the fuck
What's
else was catching the ball.
the kid from Villanova? Changa
Yeah,
Hodge,
Changa Hodge.
Evan Fairs.
Right. So
So they all combined for like the 100
Yep.
something yards.
That
So
just.
that doesn't. So obviously that doesn't include, because I include James Mitchell in the pass catchers, obviously, but
Yeah,
he's not
that's
a
just.
wide receiver.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
just wide receiver room that they're talking about.
Because if that was everybody else, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that'd be a fucking
Jesus
problem.
Christ.
That's for sure. That'd be a huge
Jesus
problem.
Christ. And Khalil Herbert caught screen passes and shit too.
Yeah, he
So
was catching screen passes every fucking game. He probably caught a screen pass once a drive.
yeah. I mean, shit, this is Trey Turner's money year. I don't think he wants to, even if they was granted that extra year because of COVID, I
Right.
don't foresee him coming back next year. So this is his money season. And I said it in a live stream a long time ago. I can't remember which season, but it would break my heart if Trey Turner goes seventh round or undrafted after being the ambassador and leader for Virginia Tech in a shitty era. And
Yeah.
he stepped up even in that 2018 season when motherfuckers was transferring left and right and the program took a hit. He put his face out there and said, "Nah, I'm going to step up and become a leader for Virginia Tech," him and Dax Holyfield. So if Trey Turner was to, after wearing this logo on his chest and being a leader on and off the field, it ain't always been perfect. But being a great representation for VT, if he was to end up being as a seventh round dude or undrafted dude at the bottom of somebody's practice squad, that shit would break my heart. I just think
Yeah.
that Trey Turner, at the end of his Virginia Tech career, should at least say, "I got drafted in the fifth round or the sixth round," but I don't want to see that man
Yeah. I mean, the other
barely hang
thing.
on the roster. It fucks me up seeing Cam Phillips and Isaiah Ford barely hang on the roster spot.
Yeah, I agree. And the I don't know, it sucks too if that were to happen because he could have left this off season. I was honestly kind of surprised he didn't because
I was telling him to get the fuck on.
I mean, he's close with Hendon Hooker, and he's from the same area as DJ Crossen too, and none of them are here anymore. So he could have very easily left this off season, and he stayed. So I mean,
Right.
hopefully he has a good year next year. I'm really hoping for it, because
Right.
you're right.
Maybe the Damon Hazleton transfer played a role, because Damon Hazleton was one of our, he was the go-to guy. He goes to Missouri and he's just like the third guy, third or fourth guy. And now I think Damon Hazleton is trying for the NFL with like no buzz, with like no
Yeah.
NFL buzz. So maybe he's seen it ain't always, the grass ain't always greener on the other side too.
Yeah. And Eric Kumar left, and his career kind of went down as well.
Kuma's coming back for ODU.
That's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, Kuma's coming back. I think he put his name out there. They
But
probably said, "Look, man, we need
he's
more
like
film."
23 right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms
It
the
can
only
happen
reason
for
I
anybody. Kurt
right.
Warner was bagging groceries. Sometimes all you need is a shot.
Oh yeah, no, it's true. The only it just it's very it definitely hurts your draft stock, and it's very
Oh,
tough
yeah.
as a receiver to entering the draft as a 21-year-old is definitely much different than going in as a 24-year-old.
Yeah, like, I mean, the only one I could think of was Calvin Ridley, and he was a first-round pick. But he had first-round talent. I think he was coming into the league at 24, and they was
Right.
like, "Man, he old as shit. What can we do with that?"
Exactly.
So,
I mean, Michael Pittman was
and that's
24 too.
Calvin Ridley. So yeah, it'd be like that.
I mean, that's what they're talking about right now with DeVonta Smith. They're saying if he was like 21, he would be easily the first wide receiver in the class, but they're putting Ja'Marr Chase because he's younger.
How old is Devontae Smith? What, 22? He can't be
Yeah.
that old.
He's 22.
Okay.
I think he might be turning 23 next season, though.
His old ass.
Yeah, he's 22 and he turns 23 in November. So, but Ja'Marr Chase is young as shit. He's only
Shout
20
out
years
to the
old.
NFL. They want to keep your ass young and cheap for as long as possible.
Right. Fountain of fucking youth.
That's what got Tremaine Edmonds on. He was like 19 when
Yeah,
he
he
got
was
drafted.
fucking 19.
He
He
was
was
young. He was young as
6'5",
shit.
big as
Yeah,
shit.
he was like, oh my God. I think he turned 20 like when the season started, but he was 19 on draft day. They
Right.
was like, oh yeah, we can work with that.
Yes, sir. That was a great draft for the Bills, getting him and Allen in the same draft. But
Right. And I thought Josh Allen was gonna be some shit.
I thought
I ain't
so
gonna
too. I was
hold
like,
you. I
Wyoming?
got a
Come on
rule
now.
of thumb. If you sorry at Wyoming, what he, like let's be people say he struggled at Wyoming. No, he was sorry at Wyoming. And I said he about to be good in the league. And he was sorry in college, but he had the physical talent and they maximized it. Shout out to the Buffalo Bills, even though they
Yeah.
did Tyrod Taylor wrong. But
Facts.
that's another topic for another day. Let's move on. But before we move on, eBay sneakers, rare dead stock of the latest release. Find the exact shoe you're looking for on eBay. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, the logo, the stitching, dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity and is customized with the sneaker's details. Authenticity guarantee also protects sellers with a verified return process. It's free to sell sneakers $100 and up on eBay. And also, in partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you into a drawing for a one-of-one pair of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to at Armchair Media on Twitter or Instagram. And bet online now. Use the promo code Armchair at checkout. That's bet online. They got you covered for all the news, scores, odds. The best place for your bets. It's free to sign up. Like I said, promo code Armchair. Bet online, just online sportsbook experts. Now, also going on during all this, you got March Madness and all these bracket. It's bracket season. There's D. Connor. Shout out to D. Connor. He got the VT Twitter bracket, the infamous VT Twitter bracket. A bracket so infamous. Motherfuckers got talking last year about murking people. This shit is serious business. This VT Twitter bracket, man. I'm a part of it. I was a 28 seed. And I'm as of right now, March the 24th. I'm still alive, still in the building. You know, I felt like I was a 28 seed going up against Tech Sideline. They tried to get me the fuck out of here early, but the streets will never, ever, ever, ever let me down. Streets took care of that. I went up against Damian Silas. He is the webmaster for Hokie Sports. Another time, I probably was supposed to catch an L. Any other normal 28 seed probably would have caught the L. And then I went up against Lays. John Lazer had to pack his ass up. So, right now, we moving strong in the Twitter bracket, man. I know you was in Miami and you was doing your thing to be concerned about stupid shit like Twitter polls, but you been keeping up with some of the action?
Yeah, it looks pretty good, and it looks like you're gonna be up against a Diablo fan account pretty soon, and I think the winner of that is gonna take it home. But I think it shows how big of a following you have, and how much of a community that you've built over the years on Twitter compared to some of the other people, even though they have jobs at Virginia Tech or are announcers or whatever the fuck they are, you still have a very big following, a very loyal following as well. So I think it's cool to see all of it play out and beat some of those guys who
Yeah,
are up
I
there.
just wanted to beat Tech Sideline because Tech Sideline has over 17,000 Twitter followers. I have maybe 2,000. So to see the underdog go up, and this wasn't even about me. Like when it says Don V against Tech Sideline, you basically saying the underground, because we are the kings of the. We are the kings of the VT Twitter underground. We claim that, we stamp that. So it
That's
was basically
hard.
like putting the streets up against Tech Sideline, and the streets won. That was a big moment for me. Like the other wins, I could care less, honestly. It was the Tech Sideline one where that's the one I'm most proud of. That's like my hood Oscar. That's like my hood Emmy. That's one I'm gonna always remember, beating Tech Sideline in the Twitter bracket with Tech Sideline on Tech Sideline saying, "Hey, bro, we need votes," and they still got their ass smoke going up against the streets, man.
I
I
guarantee you
can't
next year
thank the
you're gonna be on.
community enough.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, bro, about to have me a top four seed. He need to stop
Yeah.
playing with me.
Yes, sir. You better be
Shout
one
out
or
to D
two.
Connor, man. Shout out to D Connor, man. That's the bro. I think he's from the 757. So anytime somebody from the 757, then he should have knew what the fuck was gonna happen. Then he should have knew. Then he should have knew I wasn't one to be played with. But shout out to D Connor, man. I salute the way he's doing. I'm a supporter of his. Definitely, big time. Also shout out to Diablo fan account. That's the homie. Shout out to
Yeah.
the homie. Hey, if he gotta get his ass packed up too, it is. It is what it is, man. We smoking gang, got the gang. That's how we doing things. But a shout out to Diablo fan account, man. That's the homie.
Yes, sir. That's gonna be a big matchup, I think.
Oh yeah, that's the championship. That's the
Yeah.
championship right there.
That's like the championship before the championship when you know that like the
Yeah.
rest of the teams are garbage and yeah,
Right.
that's
This
what it is.
the SEC championship. Like, okay. When Bama plays whoever wins the East. That's the real national championship, and then like the real game is played. Yeah,
Exactly.
I mean the
Exactly.
championship game is played. So he Bama though. Let me be clear. I'm the underdog going into this one again. He's Bama. I'm Georgia or Florida or whatever. Yeah,
Exactly.
that man got a serious Twitter following.
I mean, he
I
just had
got
his
some
fucking
news
account
on him. I'm a
deleted.
mean
He
nigga.
got
Yeah, he got his account deleted and he came right back strong. I gotta put respect on his name. But yeah, shout out
Well,
Diablo for
I'm
account
gonna
for his
get
ass. If he
official
wanna
account.
engage in
That's
the goofy shit,
if
we
he
come at
engaged in
me,
the goofy
bro.
shit,
What I'm
because
saying.
come at
At the
me,
end of the day, this shit is
it's
supposed to
what
be
I'm basically
fun.
saying.
The people wanna see us
I
do
don't
the
know none
funny
of them
shit back
other
and
people on
forth.
the other side of that bracket.
I ain't go to the school.
I
Beam his ass up. Like he
don't know
might
none of them
create
folks.
memes and
Oh
all that shit. Yeah, shout out to
But
Zoe. Zoe and
I can beam his ass up
Zoe
too
in the Sweet
now.
16 too. Shout out to our guy
We
Zoe.
can definitely take the
TP
deal.
too. Y'all already know we all gang shit. Shout out to all my dogs at TP too. Y'all know how we rocking. I think we're the remaining survivors of TP too. That's in the bracket though.
Yeah,
Scut
we
got
definitely are.
his ass smoked. Who else got smoked? Scut got his ass. Scut got done. Scut got done dirty. Scut got his ass smoked. Shout out to Scut though. What else going on, man? Anything else?
I do have I will just put this in here real quick. I would in this Athletic article there is two other quotes that the guy people might want to hear. Raheem Blackshear said, he said, quote, "I was missing a lot of open gaps. I was hitting a lot of stuff too fast," he said. "So by me slowing down, now I got a chance to make my reads, make the right cuts." He's talking about Khalil Herbert because they were roommates last season, and he said that Herbert would wake up every morning and attack everything like business. Very smart kid. So I think he learned a lot from him. It'll be cool if. See if he does well for us next year, because a lot of people like Blackshear a lot. I've heard that
Yeah,
he's,
before the season.
yeah, a lot of buzz around him that he's very athletic. So that's
Yeah, it
definitely
was a
good.
lot of hype around Blackshear last season. He had that thing with the NCAA where like They didn't know. We didn't know if he could get cleared to play or not.
Right.
And then he got cleared to play, and we was hyped, and oh, this is our best back, and it turned out to be Herbert because of what you said. His patience, waiting for holes to develop, and we run a zone blocking scheme. So if you kind of outrun your blocking, no matter how much ability you have, you're not going nowhere. And a lot of times they ran Black Shear outside zone plays, and he would just run into people, either run into his line or run into the defense. Where Herbert always knew his cutback lanes. Herbert was a natural. Like Herbert, Herbert wasn't the most explosive back we've ever seen. Obviously, we had David Wilson and Ryan Williams, and we had some more explosive backs. Even Tony Gregory. People don't give Tony Gregory his props for being like fast. Tony Gregory was a fast back. Herbert, while he wasn't as explosive as them, he was explosive enough to make big plays. But I think his biggest asset was his patience and his vision. That's what made him a such a great back.
Right. He could see every hole. I think his balance too was really good.
Right.
Cuz he would always get I think he led the I might be bullshitting, but I'm pretty sure he led the NCAA in like broken tackles for a while, cuz PFF was eating him up. They thought he was like the best back in the country for a while. But yeah,
he definitely might have led the NCAA in broken tackles, at least at the P5 level, because there's always some G5 dude that's like God, that we don't know about. But
it's that
the P5 level.
The guy from Buffalo, Jarrett Patterson or whatever? He had like fucking eight touchdowns in one game.
Right, it's always a God G5 dude that comes out of nowhere, like. Who was the dude from San Diego State, and he was just slick having 2,000-yard seasons?
Oh,
Rashad Penny. It was another. Yeah. They had two of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was another one. I can't even think of his name. But, just having slick greatness.
Right.
Out the G5.
Dudes that fall down the G5 that people don't really think about or give a chance to, and they tear it up.
It's some legit talent down in that G5. Shit. It's some talent coming out of Memphis.
Yeah.
After your boy. Memphis put like three backs in the league after your boy left. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Exactly. They put
the dude that
I can't even think of my dude. He plays for Washington. He played at Memphis.
Gibson?
Henderson. Gibson, yeah. And then you got a guy that plays for Dallas.
The Rams have one too.
And the guy that plays for the Rams, they put three backs in the league, and they all getting serious reps.
Yeah.
And they all came from Memphis. That's why we was on Fuente ass so hard about running backs, because honestly, Herbert played here, but he wasn't recruited by Fuente. He didn't come up under this.
Yeah,
Fuente was struggling to get his own backs, recognition and 1,000-yard seasons and shit.
Right. That's why I hate like hanging the coaching staff's hat on like Herbert. You know what I mean? Because he wasn't. It's not like they built him. You know, I guess they found him from Memphis, and
they found him, and he was a perfect fit for the scheme.
Right.
Obviously, I've compared Khalil Herbert to another zone scheme running back, Arian Foster. And every time I watch Khalil Herbert play, I think Arian Foster, because like you said, like the vision, the balance, he has enough speed. Arian Foster wasn't a burner either, but had enough speed to make a defense pay. Like, you can't just be asleep, because he can score, but vision, balance, enough power, because Herbert he's not a big Deuce Staley with Deuce McAllister. He's not big like Deuce McAllister, but he can still run through arm tackles. That was Arian Foster, man.
Yeah, he was.
I'm gonna ask the listeners to go back and watch Arian Foster tape, and then go back and then put on Khalil Herbert tape. You might see the same dude.
No, I agree. And Herbert actually had some sneaky power. He was He could like truck people too. I mean, I remember seeing him put some dudes on their ass.
Right. Right. So, definitely. I hope that Khalil Herbert is, I mean, maybe he's picked up in the fifth round, sixth round. I know as a 49er fan, he would definitely fit our zone running scheme with the shit that Kyle Shanahan does. But I don't think Kyle Shanahan would want Herbert because Herbert lacks the top end speed. Because our running back shit, Raheem Mostert is fast as shit. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think Kyle Shanahan wants like speed. Like I say, Herbert ain't slow at all, but he's not Raheem Mostert either. So,
right, it'll be interesting what he runs for his 40. I think his 40 time is either gonna break or make his draft stock because everything else checks out. He's got all everything else in terms of the balance, the vision, the patience.
The character,
the blocking. You saw him in the Senior Bowl, just putting that dude from OSU on his ass.
Right.
So he could right. even if he gets drafted in the fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth round, he'll definitely make the roster and be a good back in the NFL because he can catch the ball too and he can play in space. So he'll be all right.
And he'll hang around the league too.
Right.
He'll definitely hang around the league. If he runs, I don't think he'll run a 4.4. I would be blown away if he runs a 4.4. If he runs
a 4.4, he might hit. If he runs a 4.4, he might be in third round.
Third round, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But if he goes 4.5, I think he is solidified getting drafted, and whatever reps he puts up on the bench. But if he goes 4.5, does good on the bench press. I think he's a lock to get drafted at the very least. If he goes 4.6, 4.7, shit, that's bad. I ain't gonna lie to you. That's bad.
Yeah, that it won't be looking good. So I mean, hopefully he does well and gets there because I feel like Virginia Tech's gonna have a pretty good time at the draft this year between Caleb Farley, Darsaw, Diablo.
I seen a tweet from this guy who claims to be a draft guy. He wasn't Mel Kiper. He wasn't Todd McShay. He wasn't Matt Miller or none of those guys, Daniel Jeremiah. But he claims to be a draft guy. And he was saying his tweet said something like, just got done watching Divine Diablo. He's one of the most exciting players I've watched. And I could definitely see him being a day three guy. So we need to get more people talking. I think Diablo just on his physical traits will get drafted. Where?
Yes.
I don't know. But I think on his physical traits alone, and he was a captain and he got a lot of fucking tape. I think he'll get drafted on physical traits alone. All that next Cam Chancellor shit.
No, that's far fetched. I don't think that's there. Much.
That's a little much. I think Diablo, like 3 seasons ago, before he had like his knee injury, I think he was fast. I think he was more explosive before the knee injury. I might be tripping.
No, I think but he's definitely smarter and more and stronger now, which I guess is kind of more of his game. But
right. So, what do you do with Diablo? Do you play him free safety, strong safety?
No, you definitely
nickel package linebacker. Like, where would you, if you were defensive coordinator, how would you use Diablo in the NFL?
The thing is at Virginia Tech, he can read a defense from the backside. So you can rotate him and play him as a middle safety, and he won't be an absolute liability, which is good. That's a plus. I think though you play him primarily in the box, and I think he can cover tight ends in the NFL because of his size, and that might be what teams want him for. So
I don't know. These tight ends are crazy.
Yeah, they're
these
crazy.
These tight ends are good.
But just his size is inviting for teams. I think that might be where they want to try him and try to see if he can play that. But I think he can play in a lot of different spots, which might make him a better prospect than we initially thought. But his top end speed, I think, might be a little bit of a problem. We'll see where he ends up. I think after the pro day, like we said for Herbert, we might have more of an idea where these guys are going to be.
All right. If I was playing Diablo, if I was a defensive coordinator, I think I would make him like the sub package line. I think I would bring him in on passing down,
And have
and
cut
he's
pass
at the
coverage.
linebacker. All right. And
All right.
anything coming out the backfield, you kill his ass. I think that would be his best role. I don't think he got the hips to be running center field. I don't think he got the hips. And I think covering these tight ends, I mean, Kyle Pitts is a tight end these days. Kyle Pitts is a wide
Right.
receiver 10 years ago.
But Kyle Pitts is like the biggest outlying tight end that has came out
Since
of
Vernon Davis.
college. Yeah, I mean,
Kyle
Kyle
Pitts
Pitts is
is
going to get
like
drafted
that.
in the first five picks. He's not going to make it
That's
past the
true.
Bengals.
But
So it'll be interesting to see how he can play in the NFL. But yeah, I think after this pro day, we'll be able to see where these guys are going to be, and after they measure and their three cones and 40s and shit like that, I guess they're going to have more buzz
right.
around them as well, because like after USC just had their pro day, I think was it today or yesterday, and it was all over Twitter. So I think once we have ours, they'll be talked about, and then they might be slotted more into the where they're going to be drafted at.
All right. And let's be clear, VT, Fuente, I don't never ask you for nothing. Can you please cook the books like everybody else? I want Star Wars numbers. I want Caleb Farley doing like a 4.140. I want Herbert doing four. I want 4.39 Herbert. I need Diablo run a 4.45. I need Darisaw to run a 4.5. Like, look, man, they said Rondale Moore from Purdue got like a 43-inch vert. That's NBA. Rondale Moore is my size with
Yeah.
a 43-inch vert, and he ran a 4.29. Now Rondale Moore might be a 4.3 guy. I'm not gonna sit up here and argue that. I think Rondale Moore is a 4.3 guy, 4.29. I don't think so. But get that 40 something inch vert the fuck out of here, man. That's like T-Mac shit. Get the cook
Yeah, no way.
the books, Fuente. Cook the fucking books, man. How the hell's doing that shit?
Yeah.
Cook the books, man.
Caleb Farley better run a fucking 4.2. That shit needs to
Right.
happen.
Even if Caleb Farley is a legit 4.38 guy, cook the books.
Yup.
4.28, man. Give him a full tenth of a second faster
Right.
than whatever he runs. Cook the books,
Exactly.
man. Cook the fucking books.
Help these boys.
I think Kyle Pitts ran a 4.46 at Florida Pro Day. The books are getting cooked across the country.
Yeah.
Fuente, I ain't never asked you for, actually, I did ask you for a lot, but I'm asking you for this one thing. Cook the motherfucking books, man. It's the only year we get to lie, so let's lie. Cook the books, man. Anything else going on?
I think that's all that I got, unless you got
Nice.
something else.
That is it for Don V Fridays. We want to thank y'all for rocking with us, making us the best Virginia Tech podcast in the lands, kings of the underground. I got nothing much to add, but man, TP2, man. Whole lot of
Yes,
gang
sir.
shit going on. DM me. DM me. If you want to know what TP2 is, DM me.
Yes,
And I
sir.
either give you an explanation, you might be ganged in, or you might just get ignored. That's how that shit rocking, man. Vote for me. Diablo fan account is a fucking pack. That shit is over with. And shout out to Drift, man. You didn't catch AIDS, man. Went out of Miami and survived.
Yes, sir. I survived. But yeah, thank you, Don V, for having me on this podcast. So it's been a fucking blast so far. I'm excited for just keep doing it. And thanks for everybody listening and the support. So good shit.
Yeah, man. Until next week, God bless.